to turn yourself on.
He is good. And his mercies endure forever. So, Father, just for a second, just thanking you for his mercy, his faithfulness. As today, as I was just preparing, I was thinking about, my heart, the Lord just speaking to me about consistency, walking consistently with him. And as I began to just think about that, thinking about how do we do that? You know, looking at his faithfulness, looking at his strength in our lives, looking at what he's done for us and saying, Lord, to be consistent or start being consistent and growing in you is just to continue to look to you. Even in my failures, even in my struggles, even in my sorrows, I'm looking to you, Father, for healing. And Lord, I will look to you and I will begin to walk in consistency. You know, consistency is just saying, Lord, I know you love me. And knowing that, I'm going to follow you. So we sometimes think of this, what we think about following him. Just think about this. What does it mean in your mind to follow him? Obviously, you got to be born again. Amen. But you have to really know that he loves you. I think the biggest thing is the consistency, saying, Lord, I realize your love for me. So in my struggles, when I'm weary, I'm confident in you. Because when we start being confident in what we have to do or our ability, we can start to spin. We can start to examine things in our lives and say, hey, this, you know, what am I going to do? We can actually start spiraling. But as we look at him saying, Lord, thank you that your blood washes my sins away. Thank you that your Holy Spirit lives in me. Father, thank you that you're doing a work in me, Father. That is truly consistency. Consistency. As we've been talking about King David and all his struggles, the enemy coming against him, the thing that I see up to this point is he remained consistent. He still lived his life. You know, happiness doesn't arrive when we have all our ducks in a row. You ever tried to get all your ducks in a row? Lord, thank you that in our consistency, understanding your love, that we can walk in your joy and your strength even when things seem out of place in some areas. Father, thank you for strength in our jobs. Amen. Father, thank you for strength in our relationships. Thank you for strength in the things that we're struggling with. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Father, we're looking to you, Father God, for our strength, for our joy. Father, thank you that you lead and guide our lives. Father, thank you that you lead and guide our lives. Father, we thank you that you lead and guide our lives. Sometimes it didn't think so. Joseph, when he was in prison, said, I had dreams and aspirations. And he thought, no. But you know what? He remained consistent. He kept focusing on the Lord. King David says, hey, I was anointed with oil by one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. What happened? But he continued to be consistent as then the Lord began to mature him. He began to grow. Doors began to open. And Father God, we thank you for showing us, Lord, how to be consistent in our lives with you, Father God, continuing to trust you even in the middle of a battle. Amen. Can you say that? Even in the middle of a hard battle, Father God, my consistency is trusting in you, knowing that you're going to get me through this, get me past this, over this, under this, around it, above it, however the Lord does it. It says that he's with me in the deepest of waters. I can't find a cave to hide from you. You are still there. I could be in the deepest waters and you are still there with me. Father, we thank you for that. On a Wednesday night, we thank you for that, Father God, strengthening your people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we can trust you to lead us every step. We can trust you to navigate life, the things, the struggles, the things that we go through, that, Father God, you get us through that. We just need to trust you that you're going to do it. You know, the places that we are today in our struggles, we're not going to be there next year. How do I know? Look at where you were a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. You that know him, isn't he always been faithful?
Yes, he is.
And then we realize, you know what, Lord, you've got this. I can relax in you. You've got me in this, Lord. Lord, you're gonna take me through this. And so, Father, we thank you for that tonight, Lord. As your Holy Spirit ministers to us, it has to be his Holy Spirit. If it's just me sharing some things and head knowledge, Father, that's not enough. It's got to be in the heart. So we thank you for that tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, Amen and amen. Good to see you. Hopefully, everybody got to eat, if you so desired. Tyler's usually my sound guy. Young girls are going to go with Gina to the classroom. Four precious girls. Amen. Have fun. Woohoo! They might even almost have as much fun as we do. Close, but probably not. Amen. We're in session 30. Doesn't the time fly when you're having fun? I mean, session 30? Jim Anderson, where's the time gone? I mean, there's Christmas stuff up now. And that doesn't bother me a bit. Some of you are saying, oh boy, not me. Bring it on. You got to love it, right, Mr. Rose? So if you go into Cracker Barrel, they've got a big Christmas section already. If you go into Costco, they got a Christmas section already. So we're in Christmas all year round. And amen. All I can say is amen to that. Got to love it. Romans, we're in the book of Romans chapter 15. So we've gone, as far as learning the gospel, learning the gospel of grace, understanding being dead to sin, our body, our members being dead to sin, God's relationship with Jerusalem, or Israel, I should say, the Israelis, the Israelites, his relationship with Gentiles, you get all of that in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans. Even Romans chapter 1, if you read that, talks about, I think, a lot that of what we're dealing with today. People who knew God and discarded God and said, I don't want that. I've got something better. I'm going to worship the wisdom of man. I'm going to worship what I think should be worshipped as far as what man has came up with. Worshipping knowledge. And so Paul talks about that and those individuals being turned over to darkness, not because God's desire to do that, but it was their desire to do that. Saying, I'm going to reject the gospel, and I'm going to pull myself over to the worship instead of birds and man and things made by man, which is really worshiping man is worshiping man's wisdom. Do we have that going on in our world today? Amen. We see that in the governments. We see that in the schools. But thank God, I'm not going on that subject tonight. Thank God he's turning things around. He is in my life. How about yours? Now, Romans 15, verse 1 says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. So the last chapter or so, 14, Paul's really honed in on the weakness, those that are weak in their conscience. He talked about those that are weak or their conscience won't allow them to eat certain things, won't allow them to skip certain religious holidays that the law had in place. They were still stuck there. And Paul, in his kindness, he starts out saying, hey, I myself think, some people think one day's better than another. Others, they consider all days the same. He says some people's conscience is just weak, but then he implores them and just starts talking about, hey, let's not cause each other to stumble. Somebody's conscience may be weak in an area. Don't run them over or don't be inconsiderate of them. Just think about this. Don't put stumbling blocks. And I won't go over that again because we have done it like 2 or 3 weeks in a row where Paul talked about stumbling blocks. Stumbling blocks, those things that you and I, you may consider being okay to partake of as an example, but somebody else, not so much, they think it's sinful or sinful behavior. So when they see you partaking in that, it causes them to stumble because of their conscience. But what Paul says here, let's edify one another. You know, edification in the Greek means to the building up. It means structure. Isn't that interesting? A structure, architecture. You know, God is building your faith up. God is building you up because we know that you're a living stone, it says in 1 Peter. So as a living stone, God and through other peoples is building you up. Think of the word building. Think of the Greek word of what this means, a structure or architecture. You being the, what, being the temple of the Holy Spirit. So building one another up in strength. Oh, how God loves all the living stones that form together to form the church, doesn't he not? The edification of one another, building one another up. You think about relationships. What's the sure sign that things are going to go south? When we quit building one another up. Have you ever had friendships or relationships? And when building up or edifying one another is lacking, there's a struggle there. There's an insecurity there. There's things that are actually maybe being torn down and not built up. So God, in his work in our lives, even in the midst of everything that we might struggle with, he's always has the heart of building you up. Building you up, not tearing you down. Any preaching that says, hey, we got to tear this down. Well, of course, we got to get rid of false doctrines and everything. But God is for the edification and building us up in him. Who doesn't like to be built up? Amen. Who doesn't like to be encouraged? And so Paul, starting out here in chapter 15, he says, hey, each of us, verse 2 again, is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. You being the building of God where you house the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to be built up as we could be on a secular job and we can give each other an attaboy or an attagirl. But with through the body of Christ, with the believers, the edification of building one another is actually the strength of God working within our lives. We got to remember the work of God happening in our lives is happening through the Holy Spirit. You're wall to wall, one third Holy Spirit, right? Spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Spirit, soul, and body. If you're born again, does the Spirit of God live in you? Absolutely. He's always looking to build you up. He's always looking to speak to you and to edify you unto encouragement to be strengthened and to walk further with him. Amen. Thank you, Father, for building us up. Thank you, Father, for the edification of the body of Christ. Amen. Do you love him tonight? It says in verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself. This is good stuff right here. Just reading it's good stuff. But reading it together. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, that the taunts of those who taunt you has fallen on him. Or on me, Jesus, meaning on Jesus. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. So that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. And we've talked about this in previous weeks, right? Amen? So that for what? For in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Let me tell you, you have what it takes to make it in this life. Because of the Spirit of God in you, you have what it takes. Even during your difficult times, it's the enemy or the records or things that we play in our mind over and over and over again that would get us to get off track or to go down a path or remain on a road that the Lord wouldn't want us on. But with us, with the Holy Spirit, and through perseverance saying, no, I'm not going that direction. I'm not giving up or giving in. The Lord is going to get us through that. His encouragement and his Spirit in us will get that, will get us through that. But it will require perseverance. How many perseverers do we have in here? Aren't you glad you're a perseverer? And even as long as you might have worked or have walked with the Lord, there's still perseverance, right, till we take our last breath. The wonderful thing is we think of perseverance as it's everything's got to be difficult and hard. That's not true. Jesus says in this world you'll have what? Difficulties, but be of good cheer. Who overcame the world? What did Jesus overcome, by the way? Sin, death, the power of Satan, amen? And then when he rose from again, he gave a bonus to you and I saying, guess what? My Spirit is now going to come and live in you. The new covenant is now going to begin, and my Holy Spirit is going to dwell in you to give you wisdom and knowledge and strength to be or persevere in today's world. Every generation, as we read in Hebrews 11, it talks about the hall of faith, those who persevered. But you and I today, with the Spirit of God living in us, we can persevere and overcome any obstacle. The Father who lives in heaven, who also lives in us, he sees those things that we face. He sees those things that will come against us. He sees our failings, but still says, hey, encourage yourself, be encouraged, and keep going and walking with me. Keep going forward, amen? Even when we stop and take a breath or have missteps or stumble, he's always there, amen? You know, stumbling doesn't mean that you've come off the track or that you've failed. In the book of Daniel, it talks about those that are righteous that'll stumble, but they're going to get up and persevere. Amen? I believe that's you and I in this generation. People that have stumbled. Anybody here ever stumbled? Everybody. Everybody in the Word of God stumbled. Everyone that we hold in high regard, whether on this earth or in the Bible, has stumbled. But you know what the difference was with them is than others? Not you and I, because we're in that same hall of faith, as persevering. Not giving up. Not giving in. Not listening to the voice of the enemy. Not listening to those things that will play in our mind. Not listening to the voice of the enemy. Birds can fly by, but we don't allow them to build a nest where? In our hair. We don't allow them to take residence in our lives or in our mind. You know, those things that have taken root in our lives, it's wonderful being around, reading His Word, saying, Lord, I want to be more like you. Being around others like we are even tonight. Listening to the Word of God, those things will start rooting out, putting a light on those things that are in our lives that God wants to root out. Thank you, Father. As He's rooting those things out, He's encouraging us. Keep going. Come on forward. You can do it. Keep moving forward. Thank you, Jesus, for a heart that says, I'm moving forward. Thank you for a church in America today that says, Lord, we're moving forward. Doesn't matter what's going on with the government. Doesn't matter the craziness going on. Father God, I thank you that I'm not crazy. Aren't you glad you're not crazy? When you're not crazy, you know the Lord. People that are blind, they don't understand the craziness that you and I see. But we got to display the goodness and the grace and the perseverance of God so they might see and say, hey, what do you have that I need? Amen. Thank you for that, Lord. For even Christ did not please himself, verse 3, but as it is written, the taunts of those who taunt you have fallen on me. For whatever was written in earlier times is written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Verse 5, now may the God who gives, now here's the thing, this is wonderful. Now the God who gives what? Perseverance and encouragement, grant you to be of the same mind, amen? This is in the NASB, of the same mind with one another. Who's one another? That's you and I, amen? Aren't we one another? Amen? So Paul starts out talking about perseverance. And then in verse 5, he says, who gives you this perseverance? Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Jesus Christ. Amen. That encouragement flowing through one another. That encouragement that comes from where? The Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to encourage you. Don't allow things your life to block that encouragement. Don't allow things like, I don't deserve that, or I'm not in the right place. Those are the times we really need to receive of His encouragement, to receive of His spirit of perseverance, amen, overcoming. Being of the same mind with one another according to Jesus Christ. Verse 6, so that with one purpose and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You think of purpose in the Greek, it means of the same passion. You know, God's Holy Spirit, what passion in our lives. Passion in our lives, amen? Passion for Him. Passion for one another. You know, passion to see God working through one another, passion to see Jesus Christ return. Aren't you? I can't wait to see his face. I know there's work to be done, but I can't wait to see his face. You know, one day we shall see him face to face. Think of that. And it's going to be a great day of joy for many people. Others, not so much, but for you and I that know Christ, a great day of joy. And trying to bring others along. This is just a small part of history, amen? This is just a small part of what's to come. And so trying to bring people along with us, a passion. Same mind, a passion, it means fierceness. Same place and same time. You and I in this place, in this time, with one purpose. You know, it's interesting. We have different jobs, abilities, talents, goals, and dreams, but the church is one mind, one purpose. Many different living stones. What is that purpose? Well, if you read through the Bible, to what? Bring people to him. To walk in the light as he is in the light. To walk in his peace. You know, his plan of you and I bringing others to himself, obviously very, very, very important. But you know, his plan in mind for you and I on this earth is that we walk in peace, that we would walk in joy. Amen? He's okay with that, that his blessing would be on our lives. I think it brings great joy for God to bless his children in the many different manifold ways that he does. You think of a good father or good mother, how they treat or bless their children. Amen? And regardless of how you raised or regardless of your past, isn't it wonderful that we are joint heirs with Christ? So our Father is him. Amen? Our Father is God. Amen? So we have his DNA in us, and we can walk in his joy, walk in his strength, walk in his peace. Father, we thank you for that tonight in your people. Walk in, it says to Father, one purpose. It's, what does Jesus say? They'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. Powerful thing, right? By your love for one another. Purpose. Same passion. A fierceness. Same place and time. Verse 7, therefore accept one another. He's talking about the church. He's getting ready to wrap this letter up to the Romans that he's going to see eventually. He wrote this letter saying, I'm going to come and see you. Can't wait to share the gospel with you. I can't wait to reveal to you, to teach you, to make evident to you what God has placed within me as the apostle to the Gentiles. So through all this letter, he just keeps talking and talking. He can't help himself. He's saying, I can't wait to share the gospel with you. And so he's getting ready, the next chapter or two, to wrap this up. He says, therefore, accept one another. Who's he talking to? The church, amen? He says, therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us. Accepted us, amen? Isn't that awesome? For the glory of God. Verse 8, for I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision. Who's the circumcision? That's the Jews, right? In behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promises given to the fathers, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing praises to your name. Hallelujah. Verse 10, and he says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people, that you and I, amen. Aren't you glad we're joint heirs with Christ now? Rejoice with the Gentiles, with his people. Verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. Amen. Join heirs with Christ. The same promises now is Israel. Let's read Galatians 3, 6 through 9 real quick. It says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Therefore, recognize that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by what? By faith. Preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. Amen. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. I love that scripture that who was the first person to preach the gospel, according to Paul here? God to who? To Abraham. To Abraham. Verse 8 again, it says, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Did they have the law then? No. No, they didn't. First message ever preached was God to Abraham saying, I'm going to bless all the nations through you, Abraham, because you simply have believed what I said, that I'm going to make you the father of a nation, or did he say many nations? And then you and I being joint heirs, now in a new covenant that is equal with Jews and Gentiles. You say, you sure of that, Chad? Well, let's keep going. We'll look at some. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you're fully accepted in love? Aren't you glad you're not a second-hand citizen? Aren't you glad you're not just a little bit below this group or that group, but all with level ground with, by what? By faith. By faith on the same level ground. By faith fully born again. By faith filled with his Holy Spirit. By faith growing in him. By faith changing. By faith knowing that the things that are going on in my life now will not always exist. He's bringing me through it. Hallelujah. And it's going to be done by faith. The power of faith is what gets us through this as the Holy Spirit works in you and I. By faith. Is it by much knowledge? No. But it is by faith. As we're reading the Word of God, God is looking to increase our faith unto encouragement. Amen? Head knowledge won't get us there. Head knowledge won't do it. But faith in the Word of God becoming alive unto us, inside of us, moving us forward. Aren't you glad for faith? Faith used to seem like a silly concept to me, even as a Christian. I would say, you go ahead and go by that, but I'm going to go by what I see. And I thought I was correct. But that was totally opposite of where God wanted my heart. If the things that are eternal are not seen, the things that are temporal are the things that are seen. And you and I are looking unto the eternal. We can't see angels, but they're there. Amen. We can't see demons, but they know they're working against us. We know that God, we can't see him on his throne yet, but we know he's on his throne. We don't see the Holy Spirit, but we know he's working in our lives and working on our behalf. And we believe all of this by faith. Thank you, Father, for the power of faith. Amen. Verse 12, it says, again, Isaiah says, there shall come to the root of Jesse. Who's Jesse? That's the father of King David, right? We've been talking about King David on Sunday, right? So, and Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. Verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. May he fill you with all what? Joy and peace by believing. Thank you, Father. We believe. Do you believe today? Lord, we believe. Father, we believe in you. Father, we know, Father God, that you've got us protected. Lord, we know that your hand is upon your church. Lord, we know your hand is upon us. Father, we believe that. Lord, and with that believing, thank you for bringing joy and peace in our lives. Thank you for the joy and peace in our homes, Father God. Thank you for revealing yourself to us, Father, by simply believing. This is what the scripture says. It is not what I say. It's what his scripture says. Amen. Thank you for your scripture, Lord. Believing so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Who's got power here? And you guys are powerful. You're a powerful group. Man or woman, you are a powerful group because of what the Holy Spirit says. in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, and concerning you, my brothers and sisters, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness. Amen? Filled with all knowledge and able also to admonish one another. There he goes. He goes back. He goes back to one another. He goes right back to his people. He goes right back to his church. He goes right back to the group of home churches at that time that he was writing to. Always bringing it back to the group of God's church. Isn't that amazing? God working through people, through a church, through his church around this whole world. So it says full. He says that you are full of goodness. Well, goodness in the Greek meaning virtue. With the doing of good that he's put in you. Active goodness or kindness. Active. Who activates that in you? The Holy Spirit, because he's the one that says he's empowered you and filled you. Amen. It says a benefactor for other people, a conduit of his goodness, filled. Amen. That means goodness. To be filled means can speak, be aware, to feel, to sense his spirit. How do you feel? My grandmother used to say to my grandmother, how do you feel? And she'd say, with my hand. But we're filled. It means that we have the ability to declare his word. We have the ability to declare his word to others. Amen? That we're aware of our surroundings. We are aware that we're in a dark place. We shine like a light. Amen? Filled meaning I can speak. I'm aware. I can feel. I know what's going on around me. My heart is tender to the Lord. And we have that ability. It says I'm known by him. That's what this filled means. I'm known. I perceive. I understand. I'm resolved. Amen. So I am filled with him. With all these goodnesses. And it says, and to admonish one another. Admonish meaning understanding as well. It says to give advice. To implore one another. To reprove gently. To be warm towards one another. We're talking about being full of his goodness. Filled, amen. Can speak, we're aware of what's around us. And admonishing, understanding, admonishing one another. Always be, if we're correcting somebody, doing it in tenderness and love. Amen. If you've got a relationship and there's correction going on, does it work better with vinegar or honey? Depends on what you're trying to attract, right? But if we doing it with admonishing one another in his kindness, amen. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 talks about an example of admonishing. And this is in the Amplified. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any sin, you who are spiritual, that is, you who are responsive to the guidance of the Spirit, are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, not with a sense of superiority or self-righteousness. Keeping a watchful eye on yourself so that you are not tempted as well. Carry one another's burdens in this way. This way, you will fulfill the requirements of the law of Christ. That is the law of Christian love. Amen. Admonishing one another. Again, it says in 1 Corinthians 8, 1 and 3, God's knowledge leads to admonish. It says, now concerning food sacrifice to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes one, what's it say? Conceited. But love what? Edifies people. If anyone thinks that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. So just head knowledge. God, walking in his love. Admonishing one another. God, the different gifts, abilities, and things that God has given us. Wisdom, there's nothing wrong with that, but just head knowledge alone will not change our lives. Amen? It's walking in his love, his Holy Spirit by love dwelling in us. Without the Spirit of God in us, it says that knowledge just leads to being conceited. It just leads to an understanding that does not have a path to God. It makes one puffed up. It makes one arrogant. But with love, with God's Holy Spirit in us, then our wisdom that he gives us can be directed in a way, in an attitude that he wants us to do that. Amen? Amen, Lord. Ephesians 3:17 and 19. A knowledge operating love again. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. How does he dwell in our heart? Through faith. Amen. Yes, the faith that he's given us. Each man is given a measure of faith, right? Faith that he's given. Through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in. Rooted and grounded. What gets rooted and grounded? Seeds, don't they? The seed of God in our lives. Being born again of an imperishable seed will never die. Amen. God, as you're speaking with your heart, we say it a lot of times on Sunday, he's always wanting to land seed in our heart on hopefully soft, fertile ground, right? Things God will say and it'll stick in your mind, it'll stick in your heart. That's when you know God is putting a seed in you to germinate and grow. Amen. But we're rooted and grounded, the seed of God in our life. Rooted and grounded. Good soil. A hard heart. Can we have a hard heart as a believer? Oh, yes, we can. What can grow on a hard surface, on hard dirt? Not much. Only thing I ever seen that grows good on hard soil is weeds. They grow anywhere. A tumbleweed grows anywhere. The Arizona beach ball, right? The tumbleweed. But something about that, the good fruit, the good plants, it has to, the dirt, the soil has to be what it needs to be tilled. And then a seed goes in there, right? Seeds put in that soil. Then it's covered over and then it's watered. What waters us? What is the water of our soul? The Holy Spirit. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So the seed that God is planting in your heart, good soil. Father, we thank you for soft hearts. Sometimes hearts, the world tramples on our heart. Maybe a lifetime of trampling by circumstances, people, situations. But asking the Lord, say, Lord, thank you, soften my heart. Many people will keep the heart hardened, knowingly or unknowingly, because they said, that will not happen to me again. That situation, that person, no individual will do that again. So they'll keep their heart hardened so that it can't be trampled on, but then nothing can grow there. It remains barren, an area that's barren. Father, in our hearts, thank you for soft hearts. Thank you for softening our hearts, Lord. Thank you for watering in our souls and our hearts. Thank you for planting seed, Lord, in our hearts. In this day, in this age, that grows up into fruit. Thank you for barren areas in people's hearts and all our hearts, Lord, were become softened by your Holy Spirit. Just yielding to the Holy Spirit. That's how you soften it, is yielding in those areas and say, Lord, I want every area of my heart to be softened. And he will reveal those things little by little. Maybe not all in one time. Maybe not in one day. But little by little, he begins to reveal himself in those areas that you soften. He begins to plant things. And out of those planted things comes visions and dreams and purposes. And other people get to eat from the fruit that's come up in our lives. Amen? The fruit that comes forth from our lives. But it can only land and be planted and grow on a soft soil of our hearts. Thank you for those soft soils. Father, thank you for germinating the seed of the Word of God as you continue to grow us. Amen. As you continue to grow us in those areas. Thank you, Lord, that we're overcomers no matter what we have faced, Father God. You make us overcomers. I think in my mind when I watch that movie, I can't remember the name of the documentary of the church in Iran, and there was a lady, you couldn't see her face because they have to wear the burqa. Nobody can see them. In Iran, what goes on there, and she says, in my country, women are worse than dogs. My father allowed me to be molested. My father allowed me to be raped by other men that he knew. But when I found Jesus Christ, everything changed in my life. I've forgiven that guy, and she said, I saw him at a funeral, and I said, you'll never touch me again. And my God has healed my heart. And as I heard that lady say it, I'm like, wow, an area that could remain hardened and wounded forever, she allowed the Lord to heal. And now she can stand with her head high saying, I'm a daughter of the King. Healed and whole. And looking that guy in the eyes and say, never again. You'll never touch me again. Don't tell me there's anything that's happened in our life that God can't heal. He can heal it. He can strengthen it. He can make it bloom. He can make it bloom where your leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever you doeth shall prosper. Fruit in your lives. Fruit in barren areas. The last vision that Ezekiel had, it showed water coming out of the temple, and it just spreading across the ground. As that water began to flow, it didn't dissipate and dry up. It actually became deeper and fuller, and it began to make everything around it green. And then in his vision, he said he saw an area of wilderness that was untouched. The water didn't get to it. The water didn't have its effect. It remained barren. Let us not be people that have areas in our lives that remain barren in Jesus' name. Let every area of our lives be watered by the power of the Holy Spirit coming unto life, bearing fruit in Jesus' name. Because the water of the Holy Spirit will come over that and wash every offense away and change us and deliver us and make us exactly what he desired us to be in Jesus' name. Thank you for that, Father. Taking the least and using him for his glory. But the ones who think, Lord, you're going to choose me because look at what I've accomplished. Those are the ones that will stand by the sideline because it's wisdom in their own wisdom, and it just leads to arrogance. Just leads to doing things in their own power. But those who realize, Lord, I can't do it without you, those are the ones that God will use. Can we stand up together? We didn't get very far, but I think we got exactly where the Holy Ghost wanted us to be. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father, for your wisdom and strength in our life. Lord, we thank you, Father, for watering every areas of our hearts and souls. How about you, Father? Thank you for your Holy Spirit washing over us. Lord, as this week progresses, Father, may we not run from you, but run to you in every area of our lives. Father, we're not running away from you. We're running to you. Father, thank you for washing every area. Thank you for cleansing every area. Father, we thank you for soft hearts, for you, the planting of the seed of the word of God, watering it in an area that comes up in fruit in our lives. Can you see it in your mind's eye? Can you see a garden? Can you see trees and plants grown with fruit, with flowers? Healthy, his blessing, not lacking anything, but lush, full of life, an area that might have been barren before, an area that might have been fenced off and said, cannot, do not enter, not coming in this area, And then allowing those fences to be trampled, to be removed, allowing God to soften those areas, to plant, to water, and to grow. And it'll be his doing. Trust him. It will not be your doing. You can't. You're not the water. You're not even the seed. You're the one that yields your heart and your life. And he does the work. And the fruit that comes from that is the things that God has for you in your life. Don't think any little thing or it's too little or whatever. The things that people do that seem minor have a big impact. You can throw a pebble in a pond and you can see it ripple. It has an impact. It has an impact on our families. It has an impact in the church that you attend. It has an impact for those around you. And it leads your life into blessing and joy. And blessing and joy. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for watering. We thank you for the growing. We thank you for the fruit. And we thank you for the joy and the peace of the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. And Father, we thank you for that tonight, how we love you. Just take 1 second and say, Father, I love you. Maybe just say, Lord, I'm yielding. Lord, help me to yield everything in me to you, Father, because you love me. Lord, help me to yield every area to you because you love me. And Father, thank you that I know the Holy Spirit is talking to many of us tonight. I know it, Lord, talking to me. And with that, we thank you that that will bear fruit when we persevere And do not give up, because you're the one who gives us the spirit of perseverance. So we thank you for that tonight. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen.